1.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. What does Iowa's loss to Purdue on Saturday say about the program? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Well, you know, you deal with everything that comes your way, week to week, day to day. And, you know, when you lose games, it's hard. And you always search for reasons. You always try to find out what, you know, zero in on what might have caused it. And today, you know, we didn't execute well enough in any of those three phases, like I said. So the cause, I'm not sure I'm smart enough to know that, but we're going to have to try to find a way to remedy at least and, you know, play more sound, consistent football. And it's a six-day schedule, so that's kind of where we're at.
If you're an Iowa Hawkeye fan, how do you feel hearing Kirk Ferentz say that after the team's 11th game of the season? 319-366-1600. Welcome in to what is sure to be the happiest edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show we've ever aired here on KGYM. What a wonderful way to kick off the week. Iowa loses to Purdue on Saturday. The Hawkeyes get embarrassed at the Cayman Islands tournament today by Louisiana, 80-71, and here we sit. What can I say? At least it's a short work week. We've got Scott Docterman from the land of 10.com set to join us at 5:30 today. We'll talk Hawkeye football and basketball with him. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, a program headed in a different direction than the Hawkeyes, will be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Iowa State picking up another nice win over the weekend, and they won three games at the Puerto Rico Tip-Off Classic as well. So the basketball team is off to a little bit of a better start than those first two games. Let's put it that way. But we start today, Alex Kuhn, with Iowa's loss to Purdue on Saturday, which, if you'll allow me here to editorialize,
please,
I think was inexcusable. And I think Mike Halas put it really good on the gym class. That's going to be a really nice program in 2 or 3 years. But Iowa had no business losing to them on Saturday. And if that makes me sound like a homer, then I sound like a homer. But you don't lose that game. You don't lose that game. And they did, and they looked uninspired, and they looked flat, and it was senior day, and there's problems. And I don't know if there's an answer for it. And I think the most frustrating thing for Iowa football fans is they know not a damn thing's going to change. 319-366-1600. Did I nail it? You convinced me that, I mean, maybe there are folks out there that just look at that and brush it off, but you got 55,000 people in the seats on senior day, and that's not a good look for that program.
We heard from a lot of people during the post-game show on Saturday, and the reactions were varied, as you would assume. And there are a lot of people kind of defending the Iowa football program and saying, well, they're going to end up 7-5, preseason expectations. We thought they were going to end up 7-5. And I kept coming back to this. I know what they've done this season. I know what the bottom line will probably be. It's either going to be 6-6 or 7-5. And that's right around a lot where a lot of people thought they would finish. But these last 2 weeks, and I'm not looking at the rest of the season, I'm not looking ahead for right now. We're going to get to Nebraska later this week. We'll get to them later today, maybe. But these last 2 weeks have been really horrible. And this last game against Purdue, a 4-6 team, I know they're improving. I know they're well coached. A 4-6 team comes into your stadium on senior day and beats you in all three phases of the game and outcoaches you and outplays you. And that has to be concerning for all Iowa fans and for the Iowa football program in general.
But we're going to get to the phone lines here in just a little bit. I do want to mention, as you mentioned, going back to the beginning of the season, I had the difference between being 7-5 and 6-6 this year, the Nebraska game. And
wow,
I think if, you know, you flip the Ohio State loss, Ohio State win, which I had as a loss, and the Purdue loss, which I had as a win, and I think that's about where I expected to be. But that to me is what's sort of troubling here is that the expectations coming into the year weren't necessarily all that great, but yet this still seems like a colossal disappointment. This team, and so what does that say? 319-366-1600. That the expectations were for just essentially a notch above mediocrity this year. 7 wins, maybe if you were an optimist, you said 8 or 9. 8, I could grant you. 9, I would have been very skeptical of at the beginning of the year. But what does that say that a 6 or 7 win team doing this seems like a major disappointment? Look, all bets are off Friday against Nebraska. Maybe they rally around and win one for the Gipper. He's a dead man walking. But look, they showed life against Penn State over the weekend. So, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Bowl projections, and those are completely worthless. ESPN has Iowa playing Washington, which would be great this were 1990 and in the Rose Bowl, but they've got Iowa playing Washington in the Foster Farms Bowl. Yeah. Iowa State, by the way, matched up with SMU in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis.
There would be a lot of defense played that day.
Let's go to the phone lines here, waiting very patiently. They are full right now, so if you call in and get a busy signal, don't be surprised. But we'll start with Brandon in Cedar Rapids. Go ahead, Brandon. You want to talk about the Hawkeyes? The floor is yours.
Hey, well, first of all, Todd, give yourself a ding. You hit the nail right on the head. Huge, huge disappointment. I had the Hawks right around about 7-5, 8-4, given a game or two. And the issues that I'm having with this team is they showed a lot of promise, and then they go right back to the same old Hawk. You know, it's just, I'm watching the game on Saturday, and I turned it off almost into the fourth quarter because it's like they're 3rd and 20, and they're doing a quarterback sneak, and they're running the ball constantly, and it's not working. It's like, what happened to the play call that they did in an Ohio State game? I couldn't watch it anymore. Now, I do want to make a comment because I was listening to the gym class, and they're talking about the boos. Even though I'm disappointed with this team, I'm more disappointed with the fans booing the team or the coaches or whatnot on senior day. That was hard to hear.
I appreciate the phone call, Brandon, and I agree with you, and it's always difficult because everybody always tries to parse it, and everybody says they're not booing the players, they're booing the coaches. I guarantee you if you talk to any of those players, Josie Jewell, Josh Jackson, anybody 20 years from now, and you ask them what they remember about their last game at Kinnick Stadium, and I throw Josh Jackson in there because I do think it was his last game, they're going to remember the boos, and they're not going to care where they were directed. They will remember that, which is unfortunate. Now, you can say if you're going to charge NFL prices, and I know they're not quite NFL prices, but people have complained about the cost of going to games. If you're going to charge that amount of money and treat it as a professional expense, then you're going to sometimes get the professional treatment. And I think you get a lot of people who pay their hard-earned money, and they get frustrated, and they let rip with the boos. And we heard him up in the press box. And I think it's really unfortunate because it's 18 to 22-year-old college kids. But when you're booing the coaches, you're also booing the players. There's no way to extrapolate the two and keep them separate. There just isn't. And so that was an unfortunate aspect of things. Now, the text line, Hurtine and Stocker text line, is available for you, too. Again, if you try calling in and the phone lines are busy, please be patient. And I have a feeling we won't be moving on from this discussion anytime soon today. So if you're with us until 7 o'clock or 6:30 on 1600 AM, because we've got Iowa State women's basketball tonight, again, the text line may be the best way to get into the discussion. 319-366-1600. There's so much to get to. Let's go to Seth in Maquoketa. He's been waiting patiently. Seth, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Long weekend after being a Green Bay Packer and an Iowa Hawkeye football fan. Been watching terrible, inept football for two straight days.
Don't mention the Packers with me, Seth. Go ahead.
So it's so tough. I find myself watching that game on Saturday like, this is this is Purdue at home on senior day. You perform better than what you did, and they just aren't playing to their strengths, in my opinion. They never consider getting Wadley the ball in space on a screen pass, and just fundamentally so flawed, and it's hard to watch. And I'll agree with Kyle Mann, like, just because they may finish 6-6 or 7-5 like everybody predicted, this just feels like an ugly hole right now that we just can't come up with better football.
All right, Seth, thanks for listening over there in Jackson County. Looks like we got Derek in Iowa City who's been waiting for a couple minutes. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, I want to address why we're disappointed. We're disappointed because the team hasn't improved. That's been a staple of Iowa teams.
Yeah.
That they get better in October, especially in November, and it seems that they've regressed. If we would have had a slow start in other years where we've lost Iowa State, we're usually the bullies of the Big Ten come November. So this just leaves us kind of not understanding what's going on.
Great point there, Derek, and I think there's probably thousands of Hawkeye fans out there that are saying and thinking the same thing. How is it? And it goes back to the comments that we started the program with. You heard Kirk Ferentz say it. 11 weeks into the season. And that's, to me, the hallmark of Iowa football. They tend to get better, and they're not getting better. And it's hard not to be frustrated when you look at this team that has outstanding personnel, especially in Josie Jewell, who's not a finalist for the Butkus Award, which that absolutely baffles me. Now, Josh Jackson is a finalist for the Thorpe Award. Akram Wadley. There are a lot of really talented players on this team, and you would expect that they would be a little bit better as a team than they are right now. But take talent aside, you can have a bunch of mediocre players. As long as they're better in week 11 than they were in week 1 of the season, I think you at least feel good about things. That, to me, is where the issue is here, because 11 weeks in, how much better is this team than it was in week 1? I think the answer would be negligible.
It's not a whole lot better. And I asked you this on Saturday, Todd, and it still continues to baffle me, because I think about the talking points for this program. The hallmark of this program is, yes, they want to control the clock, they want to play good defense, but special teams is consistently something that Kirk Ferentz preaches on, that people talk about how well he coaches up the special teams, and we are here in week 11, and they don't have a punting game that is even bad. The punting game is horrible. The punt return game is really, really bad. And from what I've heard, they don't have a kicking game that they trust. So no parts of the special teams right now are even a plus for this football team. And that's kind of baffling to me, because that is one of the more fundamental parts of a team that really develops over time. And that hasn't even developed, as much less the offense or the defensive side of the football.
I don't necessarily enjoy this. It's not a great conversation to have. But you have to, you know, you can't dance around it. And you can't just try to focus on the, you know, well, this is the bright side and that's the bright side. It's just not the way that life works. And I can tell, you know, by looking at the text line for the last hour and 19 minutes during local programming, there's a lot of people out there that are really worked up about this. I don't think it does anybody any good to try to tap dance around the issue. I think you just got to come out and say it. And it's frustrating. And we got plenty more to get to as far as things to discuss, especially with that game. We're not even getting to Iowa losing to Louisiana today in the Cayman Islands Classic, 80-71. And we talked about that non-conference schedule and how just absolutely terrible it was for Iowa, and how it's going to affect their RPI and their resume. And if this team wants to be a tournament team, they couldn't have any ugly losses in the non-conference portion of their season. Guess what? Four games in, they got one. 319-366-1600. We'll hear from Fran McCaffrey coming up in just a little bit. Let's go to Marion and bring Scott on board. Scott, go ahead. Scott, you got us?
Yeah, hold on. Sorry about that. Hey, guys, you know, I just wanted to comment about the defense. I guess the thing that I want to give a shout-out to, because I played them, well, I played defense. They were awesome. I mean, unreal. That Penn State game was unreal. So I hope that doesn't get lost in this season.
All right, let's go to Connor in Cedar Rapids. Connor, I apologize. I jumped you there. My bad. What's up?
Yeah, going back, first of all, I think you just put the numbers together for all the offensive total yardage in games is just atrocious. Obviously, going back two games ago, the Wisconsin game, 66 yards. That is, in modern-day football, that's just mind-boggling. And if you did the math, we had 34 offensive plays, not counting punts, at Wisconsin. If you snapped the ball and just fell forward 34 times, you would have gained more yards than we did that game. Now, okay, laugh, but it's the truth. Okay.
I'm not laughing.
And no, it's the truth. So, and one other thing, I mean, the offensive play calling, we as fans, you as broadcasters, the newspapers, we all keep saying the same thing. How do we think we can just keep running poor Wadley into the middle? It's not happening. We need separation. And what happened? We look at it. We know it. Why doesn't the coaching staff see it? And I just want to see what you guys say about the falling forward and getting 68 yards. And then the final thing I said. So thank you very much.
No problem, Connor. Look, it goes back to, we talked with Akram Wadley outside of Ryan Field in Evanston a month ago. It seems like a year ago, but he was asked about being used more in space. Do you want to get out in space more? No comment. And look, if you let Akram Wadley call the plays, I think we know what the offense would look like. And I think we know how he would choose to be utilized. But I've got some thoughts on Brian Ferentz as the offensive coordinator here, because this first year, I think, has not gone the way that Brian was hoping to. And his future at Iowa is tied to how well he does as the offensive coordinator. And quite frankly, how well his father does the last several years of his contract. And I'd be nervous if I were him right now, because if there's this whole line of succession thing, which everybody just automatically assumes, not looking good.
It's interesting to me, and we'll touch on this a little bit later. I touched on this on Saturday as well. The offensive coordinator, a lot of people were saying, okay, we'll fire Brian Ferentz. And this doesn't have to do with his future as possibly the head coach in waiting or not, but this is the point that I made. When an offense looks exactly the same for as long as this offense has looked exactly the same, when the strengths are the same, when the weaknesses are the same, when nothing changes, and something, don't you kind of think, what's the common denominator in all of this? When Ken O'Keefe and Greg Davis and Brian Ferentz are talked about in the same way, and I am in no way saying to fire Kirk Ferentz. I think he is a good coach, but he's the common denominator in this. There have been three different offensive coordinators and nothing has changed. The fact that people keep going back to, let's blame this all on the offensive coordinator, I'm not quite understanding that logic. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, everything since the dawn of time has been the offensive coordinator's problem with the University of Iowa. I think that's the logic there. It's 4:24. We've got to step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, Jim in Iowa City, you're going to be the first guy that we get to. Phone line still open, 319-366-1600. Plenty of Iowa football talk today, but Iowa State fans, we're going to get you taken care of today as well. John Walters said to join us coming up bottom of the hour. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. It's the Todd Brolkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn right here on KGY. I'm back with more after this.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
4:26, and as promised, we're going to head straight back into the phones and head to Iowa City. Let's bring Jim on board. Jim, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Born and raised in Iowa City, lifetime Hawkeye fan. And I wish my comment is that I think it'd be, I would have been better off if we would have lost to Ohio State and beat Purdue. The expectations got so high after Ohio State that people thought, oh, my God, you know, we're going to go, you know, undefeated the rest of the season. And pretty much the season's ended up the way it ended up. So, I mean, the way it was predicted. So, I don't know. That's my comment. Thanks.
Yeah, there's no argument there. I think the Ohio State game raised the bar. From Iowa State. Well, raise the standard is their slogan. But the Ohio State win raised the bar. And that's when the expectations went through the roof. And then the problem is not only, okay, well, you lost to Wisconsin. And Kirk said this after the game on Saturday, where, well, that's a top five football team. Okay, so you look at that and you say, yeah, 66 yards offense and Wisconsin's a top five program. When you have another pathetic offensive performance and it comes against Purdue, that's what magnifies all of these issues, and it intensifies the discussion, and the voices grow louder. And the look, there's no way to sugarcoat this. It is not a good situation right now for the Iowa football team. And then they turn around on a short week and go to Nebraska, which is a team that actually surprisingly showed a little life last week. Now, maybe they were playing up to their opponent, or maybe Penn State was overlooking. I don't know, but I am not exactly using an ink pen to put a W in the win column for the Hawkeyes. I still think they win on Friday. Maybe I am the ultimate homer. I don't know. Let's go to Kyle. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Basketball suffered a pretty tough loss today, 80-71 to Louisiana. The Hawkeyes scored only 17 points in the first half and went on to shoot just 36% from the floor. They'll play the loser of Wyoming versus South Dakota State tomorrow at 11. Some much-needed good news for Iowa fans. Josh Jackson was named a finalist today for the Jim Thorpe Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive back. He leads the nation in both picks and passes defended. Iowa State basketball eked one out against Tulsa on Friday and went on to beat Boise State 75-64 yesterday to be crowned champions of the Puerto Rico tip-off. It's a big turnaround for a program that staggered to an 0-2 start to the season, but point guard Nick Weiler-Babb has led them back to 3-2, and today he was named the Big 12 Player of the Week. In the three tournament games alone, he averaged over 17 points, over 9 rebounds, and nearly 9 assists per game. Cyclone defensive back Brian Peavy has played extremely well this season and today was announced as Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week after he had 10 tackles and a forced fumble. Garrett Owens was also named Special Teams Player of the Week. He kicked 3 field goals, including a season-long 45-yarder. And Matt Campbell dispelled injury concerns for running back David Montgomery, saying only he'll be ready to roll. Iowa's Megan Gustafson was named to Big Ten's Basketball Weekly Honor Roll. She averaged 18.5 points and 12 rebounds on 70% shooting and 2 wins last week to help the Hawkeyes move to 4-0. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Cyclone Women taking on the University of Missouri, Kansas City on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. We'll also have Monday Night Football between the Falcons and Seahawks on our South and North Gym FM frequencies.
Yeah, I made the honor roll in middle school and high school, too. It didn't mean I was going to Harvard. I think they hand out, everybody gets a ribbon, right? Can't we just have a Player of the Week? Like we used to, but
get
I understand. Look, that's what the Big Ten does. Now, the text line is wishing to continue the Iowa football conversation, and we would do that if we didn't have John Walters coming up at the bottom of the hour, and it's a sponsored segment, and I'm hesitant to do that. We just can't. It's not my call to make. So here's my promise to you. If you can stick with us until 5 o'clock, we're going to reset this. And if you're with us until 6 o'clock, it's going to come up again. And look, there's no getting around this. There's a lot to A lot to get into today with Iowa and the Purdue loss. But right now, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back, we will have John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, with us right here on KGYM.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
4 points of contact. That's all you get with the road. And the pavement really doesn't care if it's wet, snowy, slick, or icy. So when it's time to choose those crucial new tires, get help from the people whose guiding principle has been safe travels on quality tires for 3 generations. Linder Tire Service. They know tires, and they understand exactly what your vehicle needs on wintry Iowa drives. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Ride on their reputation for integrity and excellent service. LinderTire.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The Seahawks' standout defense will be without 3 main players against the Falcons for Monday Night Football. Seattle without the injured Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, and Cliff Avril, but their absence won't change the Seahawks' defense, explains ESPN's Ryan Clark.
This is what they do. This is who they are. This is the way they scheme defense, and now it'll be a little softer. I think they'll play less man-to-man coverage and hopefully get things to be thrown in front of them, but this is a 3D team.
Monday Night Football, 8:20 Eastern, ESPN TV. Steelers starting right tackle Marcus Gilbert suspended 4 games for violating the NFL's PED policy. Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley announced quarterback Baker Mayfield won't be a team captain for Saturday's game against West Virginia. He will play at some point in the game but won't start. Mayfield has apologized for cursing and making a vulgar gesture toward the Kansas bench on Saturday. College basketball, Missouri freshman Michael Porter Jr. out a 3rd straight game tonight. He will see a specialist about his hip injury. NBA, the streaking Celtics go for their 16th straight win tonight when they visit the 3-14 Mavericks.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you 3. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. 3 ways you could save 15% or more.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Fellow Cyclone fans, this is Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion.
Oh, we will fight for Iowa State, and may her colors ever fly. Oh, we will fight with might for Iowa State, with the will to do or die. Rah, 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 loyal sons forever true, and we will fight the battle through. And when we hit that line, we'll hit it hard, every yard for ISU.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions. Like running late for work, a broken alarm, creepy parking spots. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone. And right now, buy any Duralast Gold or Platinum battery and receive a $25 Fandango gift card by mail. Limit one.
Get in the zone.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Stupid rubber duck. Oh, I bet this is Mariota's room. Whoa, I get that he went to Oregon, but a pond-themed room seems a little weird. I was just looking for Mariota.
Hey, what's going on out there?
I told you we should have just gone to HeismanHouse.com, but no, we had to go to the house. We could have voted for this year's Heisman winner from the safety of our computers.
.436, welcome back in a Monday edition of the Todd Brolkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Hawkeye football talk continues at the top of hour number two. Scott Docterman from the Cedar Rapids. No. Scott is with the Land of 10. I haven't done that in a long time. I look at Scott and I still think he's at the Gazette. He's at thelandof10.com, a tremendous website. He's going to join us coming up at 5:30 tonight. Your texts and phone calls will drive the third and final hour of the program today as well. 319-366-1600. We talk from one football program that's trending downward to another program that is certainly trending upward and continuing to do so. It's John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. And John, another strong weekend for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones, looking to end it with another win coming up against Kansas State this weekend. How are you?
I'm doing really well. To win another road game was a big deal, and I thought Baylor was pretty ready to play, and Iowa State did some really good things in that game. I think it was the best production from their offensive line this season, and see some areas continuing to grow and improve, so that's really encouraging, and great to pick up a fourth road win. Hopefully they can pick up a fifth this weekend.
How nice was it to see the defense return to form and force two really crucial turnovers late in that game?
Huge, and you start talking about the importance of turnovers, and it's magnified when you get into either red zone, and I just think that the fact that Brian Peavy simply wanted that ball and went and took it might have been the most important play in that football game. And then, of course, the Reggie Wilkerson interception kind of put it away. But Peavy's play was huge. Momentum had started to shift Baylor's way. They had an opportunity to tie the game, maybe even go for two and take the lead. I mean, they're a team that takes a few chances. You don't know what they're going to do in that situation. So, for Iowa State to find a way not only to not allow points, but to take that ball away was enormous. And then Iowa State didn't turn the ball over offensively, which, you know, when they've been really good this year, that's what they've done. And so winning the turnover battle is the indicator of success for Matt Campbell's teams at Iowa State. 10-2 when they win the turnover battle, and 0-11 when they don't. So it's important for them to win it.
I saw the folks at 24/7 Sports this weekend refer to David Montgomery as the most underrated running back in college football. What is it about him that makes him so successful, in your opinion?
Oh, just the relentlessness, and not just within a play or a series or a game, but over the course of the season. Just the relentlessness and the will to just keep going. I mean, the guy has taken and absorbed more hits probably than any running back in college football. He is well over 200 carries on the season. The drop-off down to the next guy is like 30. So he has been an absolute workhorse. And through it all, he just keeps wanting the football. And bouncing off guys, the first tackler almost never seems to get him down. Some Baylor tacklers really paid a price for getting in front of him. And it's just amazing what he does. He doesn't have breakaway speed, and that's really the only drawback with him. But when you can make people miss or run over him along the way, you don't necessarily need that. And he has just proven to be, I think, one of the top running backs in college football. They put out today on Pro Football Focus that he has shattered the record for missed tackles forced in a season. Dalvin Cook had it, I think, at 89, and now Montgomery's up to 101, and he still has another game to go. So he's at least one game to go, probably two games to go, actually. But he's having an extraordinary season. I think every time he doesn't show up on a list like the Doak Walker Award finalists or things like that, it just puts a little extra edge to him, a little bit more of a chip on that shoulder. And he kind of has that at all times. I think that's a big part of why he successfully really pushes himself to be the best, and he's having a special, special season. I sure hope he makes first team All Big 12 at the least. He certainly deserves that.
Now, he got a little nicked up on Saturday. Matt Campbell said today that David will be, quote, good to go heading into Saturday. Any concerns about his health heading into Saturday? And what's the latest on Kyle Kemp's potential availability for this game against Kansas State?
Well, they hadn't practiced yet when Matt had his press conference today, so he hadn't had any chance yet to really evaluate Kyle since the game, on Saturday where he didn't play. I would assume that Kyle's coming along, and hopefully that's a situation where they can make a choice, not be forced into a decision regarding Kyle and Zeb later on in the week, but you never know. And so I'm not sure we will find out anything more before the end of the week, just because this is such a strange week with Thanksgiving and there's not as much availability as normal. But Kyle, you know, obviously did not play. I would assume that, you know, he's coming along and that hopefully he can get back in that mix here before too long. David Montgomery's injury was scary, guys. I mean, that looked bad. He got bent over backwards, his legs underneath him, knees bent back. You know, and when it happened, you just thought the absolute worst, and he gets, you know, carried off, doesn't put any weight at all on that left leg. They get him over to the sidelines, put him on a cart, take him out, and you're just thinking, this is not going to end well. You know, this is going to be an ACL or an MCL. It's going to be something season-ending. And, you know, 15 minutes later, there's Matt Campbell doing his post-game press or availability out on the field with a reporter from Fox Sports Net, and she asked him about it. He said, no, he's fine. X-rays came back negative. Everything's good. He'll be ready to rock and roll next week. Unbelievable. And he couldn't wait to get weight back on it when he got back there in the locker room. And he was walking around great today, and he is absolutely ready to go this weekend. It's pretty extraordinary. So excited about that. That was really a deflating moment, really the only deflating moment in that game on Saturday. But thankfully, the news was as good as you could hope for.
And John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, joining us on Mondays. His appearance is sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. What did Matt Campbell have to say about Bill Snyder and the Wildcats today?
Oh, just the enormous amount of respect that he has for what they've done with their program, and he said he even admired it from a distance, you know, in the past. And as so many coaches around college football have, I don't think there's any coach in college football that hasn't admired and respected and kind of tried to follow the model of what Coach Snyder has done. And you know, obviously, this is a situation where Iowa State has not had a lot of success against Kansas State with Snyder there, hardly any success. Lost a close game to him last year, lost a heartbreaker the year before, and I think this is one that, you know, the Cyclones really want. This is a team they haven't beaten. This group of seniors has not beaten Kansas State. They finally exercised that demon against Baylor last week. Now they can do it against Kansas State this week. And to get to 8 wins would be huge, but you know, standing in your way is a pretty good football coach with a really good system and a lot of guys that really buy into it, and they're going to make you earn it. So two teams that do that, and that's what's going to be fascinating about this game. I wouldn't be stunned if the total number of possessions in this game is really, really low. You know, maybe a 15 total possessions type of game between the two teams combined, because Kansas State can grind out drives, and Iowa State's proven it can too, and they both like doing that and taking time off the clock. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if this is a quick-moving, low-possession game.
It was an interesting win for Kansas State last week where they were able to outscore Oklahoma State, and they're on their third quarterback this season, and the freshman Skylar Thompson has been pretty good so far since taking over for Jesse Ertz. What does he bring to this offense?
The same exact stuff that every other Kansas State quarterback has brought, it seems. You know, I mean, they are system guys. They fit into that system beautifully. Skylar Thompson, and what I've watched of that game so far, ran the ball really, really well. And they run that, it's really a run-pass option type offense where the quarterback just kind of horizontally moves along the line of scrimmage, waiting for a hole to develop and then sprints through it, or drops back a step and throws the ball over the top of the defense. And they're very, very good at it. It's really hard to defend because nobody else does it quite like they do. So the good thing from Iowa State's perspective is Jake Waters is on the Iowa State staff. He's probably run it as well as anybody at Kansas State through the years, other than maybe Colin Klein. And so, you know, you've got a guy that understands it and knows it pretty well. That can help a little bit in Iowa State's preparation. But it's one thing to be ready for it. It's another thing to stop it. And I thought Thompson really did some nice things in that game against Oklahoma State. He was outstanding. There's several freshmen in this league right now that are starting at quarterback out of necessity, and he's one of them. But now they're listing Ertz as a possible starter, and their other quarterback, Delton, is apparently listed as well. So we'll see which guy comes out, but Thompson really played well last week.
John Walters joining us, talking a little football and basketball. I know this is difficult for you because Chris Williams and Brent Bloom were doing the broadcasts in South Carolina while you were doing the football game, but I know from your Twitter feed you were able to find a watering hole and catch the action on TV. What are your early thoughts of the Cyclones? They seem to have turned things around after the first two games.
Well, and turned it around so quickly. That's the thing that really amazed me, was just how quickly. I mean, it was last Monday, a week ago tonight, that they got beat by 18 at home against Milwaukee. And I thought they'd play better in Carolina. I thought they would, especially getting Cameron Lard and Hans Brace back. I knew that would help, but I certainly didn't expect that. I was hoping they'd win a couple games out there, but to go win the whole tournament and look really impressive doing it just goes to show you that early in the college basketball season, don't put too much weight on wins and losses. I mean, just try to get better. And I think the fact that Iowa State played at Missouri probably helped them to be prepared for the games they just played. And Nick Weiler-Babb seems to be really settling in as a point guard, and he's a real matchup nightmare at 6'5 for opposing point guards, because he can really put the ball on the floor and get to the basket and shoot it and makes great decisions. And all of a sudden, that position that looked like it might be kind of a question mark for Iowa State looks like a real strength. And then you look at what Donovan Jackson did, and I think with Donovan, the key is now that he's kind of figured out, hey, I'm not the point guard. I don't know that he ever really was, but I think in his own mind, maybe he thought that was going to be his role this year. Well, it's not. His role is to catch the ball and shoot it and make great decisions, and he did that. And, man, he's played an exceptional tournament. And so I think we're going to see a really special year from Donovan Jackson now that he's kind of settling into his role. I just really tip my hat to Steve Prohm for the way he handled those guys this past week and the way they were willing to listen and learn. It was impressive what they did, and to go win three out there was really, really good.
Do you get the sense that that game last week today, Monday night, was a wake-up call for this team, was losing by 18 at home against Milwaukee?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. It was certainly a slap in the face, and Iowa State did not play well at all. They looked totally discombobulated, which is not totally surprising this time of the year, especially with all these guys that are learning to play together. But I think a lot of guys, from what I understand, they had a players-only meeting the next day. I think a lot of guys kind of looked themselves in the mirror and said, hey, let's take some accountability here. Let's not point fingers or try to figure out who's to blame for this. Let's look at what we can do to make this better. And I think they all did. And, Cameron Lard brought a lot of energy to the team, and Hans Brace brings a lot of calmness to the team, because when he's out there, everything just kind of seems to settle down, and they seem to play probably their best when he's on the floor. And so I'm just really excited that it's turned. I don't know that this means that they're going to go do anything magical the rest of the season, but it sure gives me a lot of hope that it can be a really fun season, and that they're going to get their share of big W's along the way. And so pretty exciting going forward for Iowa State basketball. And if you'd asked me that question 1 week ago tonight, I probably wouldn't have given you that answer, but those guys really showed me something this past few days.
Speaking of discombobulated, we've got the Iowa State women at 6:30 tonight on 1600 AM. I believe that means the Cyclone Sideline show is pushed to tomorrow, correct, John?
It is. It is pushed to tomorrow, and we will have Christy Johnson Lynch in the first segment tomorrow, and then a football coach to be announced, somebody from the football staff. This is kind of a wacky week with Thanksgiving and with the no classes, and everything's just different over there this week, and so Matt's probably not going to be available tomorrow night, but we'll get somebody from his staff over there, and we'll be on at 6:30.
All right, appreciate it as always, John, and we'll be touching base with you next week. Have a happy and enjoyable Thanksgiving and a safe trip to Manhattan, too.
Yep, same to you, and thanks so much for having me.
John Walters' weekly appearance, sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner. Cyclones taking on the Kansas State Wildcats, and Bill Snyder says he's going to coach the Wildcats until he no longer wants to, essentially. And is it possible that the Hawkeyes are sort of in the same boat with Kirk Ferentz?
I don't know.
The thought crossed my mind that, you know, because of the contract situation and all of the, and yeah, I'm opening the door there, aren't I? I'm cracking the window for people to talk about the contract and the salary, but this just has the makings of, you know who's leading the program, and nothing is going to change. And for a certain segment of the fan base, I think that doesn't necessarily sit all that well. Now, somebody on the text line said that their biggest frustration with the Iowa football program is consistency. And they said that through 19 years with Kirk Ferentz as the head coach, the Hawkeyes haven't been consistent. What is consistency? Is it winning 9 or 10 games a year, 11 games a year? Well, if that's your benchmark for consistency, no, they haven't. But this, to me, I think is a team that is really hard to fit in with all of the other Iowa football teams. There's just something off about a team that's not playing good football in the 11th week of the season and not doing so, not making very much improvement, as somebody on the text line pointed out earlier today. We're going to get back into Hawkeye football talk coming up in just a bit. Always great to catch up with John, though, and a tremendous season Iowa State has had so far. They could put another win in the column this weekend against the Wildcats. And we mentioned it earlier, ESPN, with their updated bowl projections this week, would have the Cyclones playing SMU in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hopefully that trip for SMU to the Liberty Bowl goes better than Saturday's did.
Do you have any advice? Whoa!
I'm just saying.
Whoa!
I'm just throwing flaming, a little shade there.
Flaming shade from Alex Kuhn, whose brother is a member of the Memphis Tigers. Would you have any travel advice for Iowa State fans? Should they be heading back to the Liberty Bowl?
Absolutely. There's some nice, affordable hotel rooms on the east side
of town. Howard Johnson, Holiday Inn? What are we looking?
There's a bevy of upscale hotels on that side of town, close to the Liberty Bowl.
Can they get Kuhn's dad's tailgating spot?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there a plaque that says this spot reserved for Kuhn's dad?
No, but there's a little bank of grass right there at the corner of the parking lot where we set up, and I can leave a little placard there that somebody can take if they'd like to.
The Liberty Bowl? If they beat Kansas State this weekend, 8 wins. It just seems a little low.
Maybe the Alamo Bowl, possibly the Holiday Bowl. Is that a Big 12 tie-in anymore? I year to year, I don't know which conference is tied into which bowl game.
Well,
it changes every year,
and it does, and that's part of the problem with projecting. Well, prior to losing to Purdue, was projecting the Tax Slayer Bowl / Music City Bowl on the Big Ten side, because it's a 6-year contract with those two bowls, but they only get a Big Ten team 3 of the 6 years. And if they wanted to, it could be Music City, Music City, Music City, and then Tax Slayer, Tax Slayer, Tax Slayer. But obviously that isn't going to be the case because we're already into that contract. But it's just there are so many balls up in the air when it comes to determining the bowl pairings. And if you're an Iowa fan, a bowl game probably seems like the furthest thought from your mind.
Absolutely.
Right now. They're headed to one, but thinking about a bowl game is the last thing that you want to talk about right now. 4:54, which is a good thing, because we're going to talk about all those other things that you do want to talk about, and the floor is going to be yours coming up in just a few minutes. 319-366-1600. We'll step aside and take a quick break. We'll get you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update when we return. It's the Todd Rollkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and you at 319-366-1600. Back after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you.
Our local nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
I told you it was going to be a quick one. Let's send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Iowa basketball suffered a pretty tough loss today, 80-71 to Louisiana. The Hawkeyes scored only 17 points in the first half and went on to shoot just 36% from the floor. They'll play the loser of Wyoming versus South Dakota State tomorrow at 11. Some much-needed good news for Iowa fans. Josh Jackson was named a finalist today for the Jim Thorpe Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive back. He leads the nation in both picks and passes defended. Iowa State basketball eked one out against Tulsa on Friday and went on to beat Boise State 75-64 yesterday to be crowned champions of the Puerto Rico tip-off. It's a big turnaround for a program that staggered to an 0-2 start to the season, but point guard Nick Weiler-Babb has led them back to 3-2, and today he was named the Big 12 Player of the Week. In the three tournament games alone, he averaged over 17 points, over 9 rebounds, and nearly 9 assists per game. Cyclone defensive back Brian Peavy has played extremely well this season and today was announced as Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week after he had 10 tackles as well as a forced fumble. Garrett Owens was also named Special Teams Player of the Week. He kicked 3 field goals, including a season-long 45-yarder. And Matt Campbell dispelled injury concerns for running back David Montgomery, saying he'll be ready to roll. Iowa's Megan Gustafson was named to the Big Ten Women's Basketball Weekly Honor Roll. She averaged 18.5 points and 12 rebounds on 70% shooting in 2 wins last week. And tonight after the show, we're going to have the Cyclone Women taking on the University of Mizzou, Kansas City on 1600. And we'll also have Monday Night Football between the Falcons and Seahawks on our South and North Gym FM frequencies.
UMKC, the Kangaroos. The Kangaroos. And because of that, we'll be splitting off at 6:30. You want to catch the final 30 minutes of the program tonight. You'll do so on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5. If you've lost faith in Kirk Ferentz, what, if anything, can he do to regain your confidence? 319-366-1600. I'm going to tackle that question and more as we talk Hawkeyes to kick off hour number 2. The Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn returns after this.